Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor.
So good to be with you. Wow, it just brings back such a flood of memories to be here. Wonderful. I'm kind of glad the curtains are gone because it gives me this natural halo, this glow. Yeah, I kind of like that. I want my picture made up here, okay? Brethren, in some ways, we see the world through our television sets. We see other cultures, foreign places, people of all kinds, different foods. You can learn about the news in Mongolia and who won the election in Timbuktu. So anything we want to know, we can learn that way. And so tonight, I'd like to take you to Palau and Chuuk in the South Pacific through a television set. Now, in Palau and Chuuk, we have TV, but it's kind of old style. We don't have the menu at the bottom. We can see what's on the other channels. You still just have to click through the channels to see what's on. So that's what we're going to do tonight. We're looking for some. We're searching for something good to watch on TV. And that I wonder maybe if there's a parallel to this and what people are searching for in life. We'll see. So here we are zooming in on Koror in Palau. Some of the houses that are there. Let's see what's on television tonight. A few commercials that we can skip past. And here we are, the Joey Treat Channel. Now, who wouldn't want to watch that, right? We've been in the islands 11 years, 5 in Saipan and six now in Palau. And brethren, that's home. That's home. We love the U.S. We love coming here. You are here. But Palau has become home. You know, after you've been in a place a little while, it's that way. Even though the internet speed in Palau is about 20 years ago in the U.S. Still, it's the culture. We've tried to become all things to all men, to the people there. But it's strange to feel more at home there than here. I feel it. My wife feels it. My children feel it. And I guess, though, that's good because we're suited to be there. We have no plans to return to the U.S., Lord willing, we're there to stay, at least until the churches that we're currently working with get to where they can stand on their own. That's the goal. Well, let's see what else we can find on television tonight. Some more commercials. Brethren, I don't like to watch fishing on TV. Maybe you do. Some people do, but not really what I want to see. You know, there may be some parallel to this channel flipping that we'll see at the end of the lesson, maybe. Let's see what else we have. Maybe, the Palau Church of Christ channel. The congregation in Palau has grown since we were with you last. Every Sunday, my son Noah picks up the trash. He does not like that job. Every Sunday morning, he's covering the grounds. Nina does the Lord's Supper, and so it's a family event. But the church has grown since we were with you last. This is one of our new brothers. His name is R.C., and R.C. was baptized by a man who's actually was divisive in the church and kindly separated out from us and started his own group that way. And that divisive brother passed away, and we were able to study with R.C., bring him to the church, and he's now one of our very faithful members. And so we're excited about that. That was a clip showing where his house is located. It was an hour and a half to go pick him up for services in the morning, Sunday morning, then another hour and a half in the afternoon to drop him off. But now he has his own vehicle, and his name is R.C. Mino and Cheryl, when I was with you last, had left the church, and I'm happy to report that they've come back. We believe it's very important to work with those straying sheep, and Mino and Cheryl have come back, so we're very excited about that. Mino is really our most qualified preacher in the church among the island brethren. Let me tell you about Marissa. Marissa is one of our sisters in Palau. She's a Filipino. She was baptized in Palau several years ago and then went back to the Philippines. Well, now she has come back to Palau, and she's a faithful sister. Marissa had a job working the late shift at a convenience store, and there was another convenience store not too far away that was robbed. Well, brethren, guns are illegal in Palau, except for the police officers, you know. And so they do a robbery like that. They're using machetes or knives of some sort. So she went to her boss and she said, I'm not comfortable staying here alone at night managing this convenience store. What do I do if they come in and want to rob the store? And he did not give her very good advice. He told her, well, lock the money. Not good. We told her, Marissa, don't do that. Give them what they want and save yourself. Get out of there. They're going to turn their anger to her. So she quit that job, and we were helping her to find another. She has now found another job. But she has been bringing Nympha. Marissa has been bringing Nympha to the church services, and we've had several Bible studies with Nympha, and we're eager to continue those when we get back to Palau. Here we are having dinner at our house there in Palau. But we're looking for ways to find people for Bible studies and to grow the church. And one of the ways that we do that is by watching the newspapers. In this country of 21,000 people, we have two newspapers. So here you have represented all. We have the Island Times and Tia Balau. We look for things in the paper where we can make contact with people, and one of them, who had been hurt, and my neighbor across the street from my house was the one that helped her out of a bad situation. And so I went to him and I said, hey, take me to this family. And he told them who I was and got prearranged permission to come. You have to do that in Palau. And so then brought me to the family, forward to have some Bible studies with them whenever we get back to Palau. But that's one other way that we can look for contacts for Bible studies and growing the church. Watch, this one is interesting. This is the Chinese channel. The Chinese have come into Palau in a very large way because a visa requirement that they used to have has been lifted. It expired, and so they don't have that any longer. So they came in and really bought up a lot of land. We now have signage and restaurants that are Chinese only in Palau, which is very strange and different. Palau is by no means equipped to handle such an influx of one nationality. In fact, Palau can barely handle the tourism that it gets. In Palau, there's a building code, but there's no inspector to come and look at the work that you've done after the construction is complete. KSPLA, we have a group that goes and makes sure that you're not digging in the wrong area. And for the whole country, there are two inspectors. Two. And so that's the kind of thing when I say we're not equipped to handle such an influx of people. And that's the case here. So the Chinese have come into Palau, and we had one who was coming to our worship services. We're excited about that and started Bible studies with him, but his English was so poor that we were not able to really conduct those studies. We'd say, do you understand what we're saying? And he'd say, yes, but he had no idea what we were talking about. So we got on to World Video Bible School website and got some DVDs in Chinese for him, and we're hoping that we can have a greater outreach to the Chinese population if they do, in fact, continue there in Palau. So, some other. I don't want to watch ice skating or archery. Do you watch that on television? How about this, the radio channel. In Palau, it's very important to be involved in the community because it's such a small community. It's a situation where the community depends. Miles and miles of land to get anywhere. That's the way it is in Palau. It's just we have water instead of ice. In earlier this year, we had a drought, and rather than water, the water table went down, and we don't have neighboring counties or states to draw water from like you do. You can always get more water. You can always get more power, but not so in Palau. The city of L.A. gets its water from Colorado. Did you know that? Well, in Palau, when the water table goes down, just the water goes off, and that's it. We were down to rationing where there was 2 hours of water per day, okay? So that's 2 hours of tap water for all of the bathroom needs, all of the showering, all of the washing dishes. The hardest thing to get done was the laundry, and then drinking water, everything had to come that way. So it's during times like that when being a part of the community and having a people who depend on each other is very important. And so, Tammy and I recognized that about the culture and got involved in the community in a variety of ways. And then the community started responding, and the owner of that radio station responded by saying, Joey, we see what you guys are doing, and if you would like to have some free airtime on the radio, no problem, just let us know. And we said, absolutely, we'd love to. And so we have taken advantage of one of the unique cultural aspects of Palau, and that is that they have Palau legends. Now, it's folklore. It's there are stories that they tell the kids in order to teach a moral lesson of some kind of like our Paul Bunyan or Lone Ranger, right? They know that it's fake, but it's creation stories and legends of Palau. And so we have branched off of those in order to write some Bible lessons that we believe will really capture the ears of the people of Palau. So let me share one with you now. This is one of the Palau legends and legendary Bible radio spots that we have. In the Palau legend of Bacau and Bengol, the warriors of Neralamungui raided the nearby village of Neralong. There was one man they wanted to capture more than any other. A special canoe was built that would carry 14 warriors and one prisoner. When it was finished, the men boarded that canoe and sailed through the night to Neralong. They silently crept through the village, looking for the man, and found him sleeping alone in the village by. They gagged him and tied him up and carried him quickly back to their canoe. They headed back home, planning to deliver him to the center of the village the next morning before daybreak. And away they paddled, the same way they came, which was through a narrow passage in the mangroves. There was no moon that night, and the swamp was pitch black. Only a few stars gave the slightest amount of light. The warriors struggled to see their way through the mangroves. The man, tied up in the bottom of the boat, had a unique perspective. He could just see the outline of the branches overhead when they blocked the light of the dim stars. Being left alone in the bottom of the boat, he was able to free his hands and then he waited. When the time was right, he silently reached up and pulled himself up onto a branch. The warriors didn't even realize he was gone. As the boat returned to Neralamungui, the sun began to dawn, and the warriors realized their trophy was gone. Back in Neralong, the man reported all that had happened, so they named that tree Bacau and Bengol, or the mangrove fighting tree. Well, there are some unique things about the nighttime. It can be hard to see at night. In Acts 17, Paul and Silas were sent away by their brethren by night to Berea so that those who were looking for them might not see them. 1 Thessalonians 5:7 says, "For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night." Usually people are drunk in the night. When driving in the early hours of the morning, we have to be more cautious watching for drunk drivers. Jesus said he would return like a thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians 5:2, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." Like when a thief comes, it'll be a surprise. There won't be any signs or warnings, just, "Oh, he's here." It'll be a surprise. And two verses later, Paul also tells us, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. We can look forward to the day of our Lord's return. We don't have to be anxious about it. When we love God and follow His Word, we can have confidence on that day." Isn't that good news? I'm Joey Treat with the Palau Church of Christ, learning from Palau legends and the legendary Bible. So these are the kind of radio spots that we have in Palau. We have an aquarium show and an infomercial. Let's not stop on those. Rather, here's a channel for us to look at, and that is the Chuuk channel. The Chuuk channel. Brethren, we are going to see here the three congregations that we have in Chuuk. The first one meets on top of the mountain in Miari, and it meets in a house. The other two buildings that it's going to zoom in on are church buildings that we have for the brethren in those areas. The Naaman Church of Christ, and then across the mountain to Epanoop. The people of Chuuk are very poor, not enough jobs for them. Those who have jobs will be earning about $1.50 an hour, and so that's really not even enough for them to buy rice. But brethren, they have hearts of gold. When I go to Chuuk, I go camping, and I pitch my tent inside of a screened-in pavilion. It has to be that way because of drunks that walk the road that's nearby. And so one night, I'm sleeping in the tent in the pavilion, and I'm awakened by someone snoring, sleeping very close to me. In fact, he was about 2 feet away from me, although he was on the outside of the pavilion. A drunk had come up and fallen asleep in the dirt next to the building, so he was under the eave of the roof, you see. And so I was telling the brethren that the next day to show them don't drink. I said, "You never know what you go drinking, go getting drunk, you're going to wake up somewhere, you don't know, sleeping in the dirt somewhere, next to some strange building." And that night, Urson, the man who was wearing the hat just a moment ago, came down from the mountain with a brother and brought a chair and sat it outside the building. I said, "Urson, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm going to keep watch so the drunks won't bother you tonight." And then I said, oh, Urson, you don't have to do that. I'm inside the pavilion. It's okay. It's all right. So he picked up his chair, moved it about 30 feet away, and sat back down. You can't tell him. So I said, Urson, you really don't have to do that. The one who was sleeping outside the building was Antony. It's a brother. It was this man. He's a brother in Christ, you know. And he's struggling with drinking. He came to me later that day and said, Joey, I'm giving in to this. I need help. What can we do? So I said, Urson, it was Antony. It's okay. So here you have a situation of a brother with a brother protecting a brother from a brother. But you see, they have hearts of gold, and you have to embrace them and care for them. One of the challenges that we have in Chuuk is getting grape juice for the Lord's Supper. You can't buy 100% grape juice in Chuuk. They don't sell it. I have ordered it before. I've taken it in before, but the brethren don't have refrigerators, and so when I take it in, it's only good for one Sunday. That really doesn't help. And so I've ordered it in little cans that they could open one each Sunday, and it came to Chuuk. They didn't unload it off the container, so it went on to the Philippines, and then it came back to Chuuk in the container, and finally they got it and held it for me. I think it took about 8 months for me to get that case of grape juice. Mm-hmm. So that's really not a good way either. We have ordered the little cups that you have that have the grape juice on the bottom and the cracker on top. That's one way, but frankly, not a cost-effective way to get it to the three churches there in Chuuk. And so what we like to do, and then there's the old reliable way, and that is they boil raisins. And so there's almost always raisins in Chuuk, though it's a little labor-intensive. That's one thing that can be done. We have picked raisins out of cereal boxes before in order to have enough to make the Lord's Supper juice. But this is a much better way, and we can order freeze-dried grape powder out of China. Now, this says mulberry extract. It's not. The shipper put that on there because he was concerned about customs regulations. So we don't like him changing the label, but he didn't ask us. He just shipped it that way. But it's grape powder. And if you've ever seen them make freeze-dried coffee or instant coffee, they make the coffee. I'm getting a signal, and I don't know what it is.
Is the microphone? The microphone is dying, so get behind the podium. That's what this means. Okay, if you're ever up here, that means get behind the podium. Okay, thank you, Evan. Thank you very much. Okay, so that's the way they make instant coffee. They make the coffee, and then they freeze it, and then they draw the moisture out, and then you have freeze-dried coffee. And so here we have grape powder. It's 100% grapes that have been powderized, and we can mix it with water, and then we have 100% grape juice. Brethren, this is very effective because it doesn't have to be refrigerated, and they can just make what they need for that Sunday. So one small container will last a long time. These are just some of the challenges that we have there in Chuuk that are a little bit fun to figure out how it is that we're going to accomplish what the Lord wants us to accomplish. There's always a way. I teach the children there are 10 solutions to every problem. There's always a way. It's just a matter of finding the best one. Here you're seeing pictures of several baptisms in Chuuk. We have lots of Bible studies and baptisms. And this was during a campaign in the summer of last year. She's baptized again because her hand was up, in case you wonder. But brethren, these are some of our brethren there in Chuuk. We had one brother to pass away since I was with you last. His name is Frog. His nickname is Frog. And he was the main guy, the main worker up in the Miari congregation on top of the mountain. And I can't tell you what a loss it was for the church there and for our future plans of the church and for his family as well. He's married and had three young boys, and frankly, he was just a dear, dear friend of mine. He went fishing. And brethren, when they go fishing in Chuuk, it means spear fishing. And he went fishing and drowned because of the ocean currents. It can be very, just almost impossible to explain how treacherous the currents can be among those great clusters of coral that are under the water. And so what a loss. But my friends, the Chuukese are a unique people. They believe in God and they believe in the Bible, though it's not always according to knowledge, as the scripture goes. They believe that they're following the Old Testament.
Which they're not, because if they were to read it, they would realize how many aspects of the old law they do not keep. But what they have been taught, okay, well, that's what they keep. They had been taught to obey the old law, and one of their traditions is when a husband dies, then the wife will go and marry his brother. And that is exactly what Frog's wife Pia did. She went and married his brother. Well, his brother lives on a very remote island there in Chuuk, and frankly, I can't get to it to go and work with her and work with the boys. When Frog passed, I thought, well, at least I can raise up the children in the church, or help to bring them up in the church so that they can replace their dad one day in growing the church. But they're on that remote island. There's a boat that goes, but it goes once a week. And so if you go, they'll drop you off. You stay that week, the boat will come back in a week and pick you up and then bring you back to the main island. So all in all, the trip is about 2 weeks. Just not something that we're able to do at this point. But pray for Pia and the boys and for the church there in Miari. One thing about Frog's passing is it has forced us to double our efforts in reaching out to find others to help grow the church there in Miari. Well, that's the church in Chuuk. Let's see if we can find anything else on TV tonight. I don't want to watch the Fireplace Channel. Here we are, Moving Mountains TV. Brethren, this is our channel there in Palau. Because it's a developing country, we're able to have our own channel at a very affordable price. And so we have Moving Mountains TV 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to program anything that we want to on it. And so it's a great blessing. We can go straight into the living rooms of the people and teach them the Word of God in a non-threatening way and a way that they are open to. So it's a great blessing. The question to ask concerning a TV channel is, are the people watching it? Because let's face it, this is religious TV. And it's down the list for a lot of people, right? And so I'm going to share with you some of the feedback that we've gotten this year alone. We had one person say, the picture on your channel looks good. This is after the cable company had to fix a fuzzy picture issue. And then another was over at the house and didn't know that we were doing Moving Mountains and said, oh, that's you? She knew of the channel. She didn't know that we were the ones doing it. And then we had others to come and say, I noticed the channel was down and is back up now. Anytime we have a power outage, which is about once every 2 weeks there in Palau, then the channel goes down and we have to go in and fire things back up again. Two different groups of people have come and said, how do we set up a TV channel in Palau, knowing that what we had done? And then another one said, I saw this and that. Another asked, when do you show this? Another said, I saw you on TV. And so just a steady stream of people saying that they're watching the channel. And one family called the house. We have the one bedroom in the house is the studio and the output of the channel. And they called and said, we can't hear it. In our encoding of the program, we had messed up the audio and it wasn't playing. They could see the video but not the audio. They really wanted to watch that program, though. So they looked up the number, they called the house, and they said, we can't hear it. So I said, okay, and I fixed it and turned it on. And when we got it going again, they called back and they said, thank you. How would you like to be able to call up NBC and say, hey, I missed the start of the program. Can you restart that for me? Yeah. Well, see, if you were in Palau, you could do that, and we could fix that for you. One person was over at the house, and we've done some filming on the back porch. And she said, I recognize your back porch from the TV. I said, well, all right, very good. And then the owner of that radio station said that he really enjoyed the Noah's Ark program. I know that you all have seen it, that Jeff has showed that to you at one point or another. Anyway, it's a wonderfully done tour of the Noah's Ark replica that was made and answers all of the major skeptic accusations that are against Noah's Ark and the feasibility of it. Just a wonderful program, and I hope you'll be able to see it. So that was what the radio station manager said. Another girl, now this was her words, not ours. She said, I think what you're doing is cool. So this is the feedback. This is the feedback that we've gotten just this year. And brethren, that tells us that people are watching the channel. Now what are they watching? They're watching that, Leaping in Faith, our show. They're watching How to Become a Christian from this Searching for Truth. They're watching Bible Questions and Answers. They're watching In Search of the Lord's Way with Phil Sanders. They're watching What Happened to the Dinosaurs with Apologetics Press. They're watching shows about lying, about brotherhood debates. They're watching shows about the death of Christ, just a variety of programs all giving the truth of God's word in a regular way there in Palau. So that's what they're watching. All of the comments, that tells us that they're watching, and this is what it is they are watching. So, brethren, it brings up the subject of religious television. Let's see what else is on. Not a business speculation show or a train show. Here we are. This is the show I was telling you about, Leaping in Faith, our show. And not good to have a TV channel if you don't have your own program on it. And so, brethren, that's what this is. So here's our introduction, a little 20-second teaser, followed by a one-minute title sequence. And we have an a cappella song being sung during this time. But as that plays, you know, I'm sure that it's not a shocker to you for me to say that religious programming is not very popular among people in the world. It's not what they're looking to watch for the most part. Well, brethren, that's not good, because that's what we're doing. One of the things we're doing is religious TV. And so let me take a moment and share with you my top 10 for most boring TV imaginable that people watch today. There's a point to this. Number one would be the weather. I know, just 5 minutes on that and then see what's happening and then we move on, don't we? A shopping TV channel, no. Business speculation show, no. Bowling, no. Infomercials, no, I don't want to watch that. Ice skating, I'm not a fan. Now, you're not too far from Daytona. Maybe some of you really like to watch the races. I'm sorry, it's not for me. I don't want to watch that. Or archery or fishing. And the number one spot for the most boring TV imaginable is something you may have never heard of before. It's Norwegian slow TV. They put a camera in the front of a train, in a cab of a train, and record a 9-hour train ride and play it in its entirety on the channel. That's right. And all 9 hours. Now, after the 9-hour train ride, they have a 3-hour aquarium program, followed by a 3-hour fireplace program. And so that's a real channel. That's Norwegian slow TV, and I know every one of you will go look that up later tonight. So why are we looking at this? Because for the people out in the world, and that's our audience in Palau. You know, the church is small in Palau, less than 30. So our target audience is people who are outside of the church. Here in the U.S., you do a religious program in the church, you're going to get a good following in the church, but not us. Our target audience consists of those who are outside the church. So for people outside the church, religious TV ranks somewhere on that list. Now that's a challenge. Be somewhere on that list and try to get people to watch your show. That's what we're trying to do, you see. And so now let me share with you what it is that we're doing to try to make our show more attractive to those who are outside the church, but without compromising anything that holds to the integrity of the show. Number one, brethren, any program that is going to be teaching God's word, the most important thing about it is, must teach the truth. Amen? It's got to be right, Ephesians 4:15. But brethren, not only that, it's got to speak the truth in love. The manner in which we present ourselves, the manner in which that we talk to others about their souls, oh, it needs to be done in love. But then thirdly, after that, brethren, it's good if a television host can let his personality come through. Have you ever watched the Food Network and watched the show on there that it's the next Food Network star? Over and over and over again, they tell those contestants that what they need to do is let their personality come through, because that's how they connect with the audience. We hope to do that with Leaping in Faith. But then, after that, probably the most important criteria is that the show keeps moving. Have you ever noticed how often there's a scene change or a camera change as you're watching TV? Pay attention to it tonight when you turn the TV on and see just how often a scene change or a camera change. Once every second. Every second. You say, well, I never noticed that before. Most people don't. You'd notice it if it wasn't there. And so, brethren, what we don't want to do is just have a man sitting in front of a bookcase and a fake plant sitting and talking to the camera for 20 minutes. And so let me share with you now what it is that we've done to try to emulate this idea of keeping things moving. Here we are speaking the truth in love. We have a teaser, the title sequence, and then 3 minutes of teaching. And during that 3 minutes of time, we're looking at different cameras, so there's camera change during that time. And then a portion where I am talking with myself. This is cultural in Palau, and also something that gives us the opportunity to play the devil's advocate. So here we are with the regular teaching. This is most of the show. And I'm going to show you now the little clips that we put in there to help to break it up. This is one of them where I'm talking to myself. And it's done in a little bit of a lighthearted kind of way, but it teaches a very serious point. Now the guy in the bottom, on the bottom, is he's in a smaller box, which insinuates that he's wrong, and the guy in the larger box is right. The guy in the lower box is complaining about something. He said, I don't want to go to church every Sunday. Why should I? And he's representing a worldly viewpoint. And it'll be something that the average person in the world probably really believes and connects with. And so here he's saying that he could go out in his boat and go fishing and watch the dew settle on the water, and it's almost a spiritual atmosphere. And why can't he just do that and really commune with God better in his mind than having to get up and go to the worship all dressed up in a tight suit on Sunday morning? And the guy on the top left is correcting that gently from the Bible. And so as people are watching this, it's not someone correcting them directly, but it's correcting that guy in the box, and then they can learn from it that way. This fits with the Palauan culture, because that's how they teach their children indirectly. If there are some young men who have been getting into some trouble and the family wants to handle it, then what they'll do is call a family meeting, and the older man will say to somebody else, maybe another older man or the wife or something, he'll say this lesson or this life principle that these younger men really need to hear and need to follow. And it will be indirect teaching. Now everybody knows who he's really talking to, the younger men, but that's the way they do it. And so this talk with self, that is something that fits with the Palauan culture. And then more teaching and amazing things from the Bible, more teaching and a talk with Noah Treat at the end. The amazing things from the Bible will be something related to the main subject. For example, on the show on baptism, I'm here talking about the history of sprinkling and where it came from. Got some island breadfruit hanging behind me. And so that's one break that we do. And then I'll have a discussion with my son, Noah Treat. And in one of them, you know, the islanders don't have English as their first language. It's a second language. And so words like tutor are words that they may not recognize as well. Many of them will not know. And so I'm asking Noah, do you need a tutor for school? And he says, no. And we talk about what is a tutor, and then we go straight back into the teaching of the program, Galatians 3, 24 and 25. The law is our tutor to bring us to Christ, but after we are in Christ, no longer do we need the tutor. And so these are the things that we've done. We hope that will make the program more listenable for those who are outside the church. It's quite a challenge. It's quite a challenge to develop the approach of a program, a religious program, to those who are outside the church. And so, brethren, that's it. That's Leaping in Faith, and that's Moving Mountains Television. We did find something to watch, didn't we? We searched and we did find something to watch. Now, this TV part of our work, brethren, is just a small part. I've highlighted more on it during this report, but it is a small piece, and it comes after the regular work that we do, working with the members of the church in Palau and the churches at Chuuk and the Bible studies and the baptisms. But we believe in the effect of the TV work, and we believe in its power because we know the people are watching it. Well, just like we were searching for something to watch, the people in Palau and Chuuk, they're searching also. You know, they may not even realize what they're searching for, but they know their lives are incomplete and they're searching. And these, all of these ways that we've seen tonight, are ways that we can help them to find the Lord, that very thing that they are searching for, even if they don't know it. But you know, better than something to watch is something to do. And tonight, maybe you have something that you need to do in order to be right with God. Maybe you need to ask for the prayers of the church to help set things right. Or maybe you need to put your Lord on in baptism. Believing, repenting, and confessing His name, you have that opportunity here tonight. So if you have any need at all, then won't you come right now as we stand and sing.